Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back and talking this segment with Dr. Bruce Bechtel, who is an associate professor of political science at Angelo State University and a former intelligence officer at the Defense Intelligence Agency, and also someone who spends a lot of time watching what's going on in the hermit kingdom of North Korea. Now, Bruce, that's an area I'm very familiar with. I was in 1st Special Forces Group. Our area of operations was the Pacific Rim, and my battalion's specific was the Koreas and what's going on. They've been a mess for a long time, and yet they still always seem able to create havoc and trouble by picking the most dangerous things to be involved in, such as nuclear weapons and their proliferation, and using that to vastly, asymmetrically increase their overall clout in the world. They seem to be deeply involved in that again with more missile testing, et cetera. What are they up to?
Thank you for introducing me. And secondly, are you talking about the recent test that there's argument now over whether it was a Musudan IRBM or a KN-08 ICBM?
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because one of those might be capable of making it to the United States if that's what they were testing, correct?
Absolutely. Both the commanding general of USFK about a year and a half ago and the director of NORAD, the commanding general of NORAD, and DCI, the director of central, the national director of intelligence, the title that he's called now, have all said that the KN-08 is capable of both carrying a nuclear warhead and, once operational, of reaching the United States. So if this is the KN-08 that was being tested, it certainly is a game changer as opposed to the Musudan missile, which has a range to hit Guam, which has 165,000 American citizens, but is obviously much different than a missile that would hit, for example, San Diego or Seattle.
And again, that, you know, those are places where, okay, if it can hit the United States, we're rarely a target of anyone's offensive actions. But that range and their ability to provide that missile to other bad actors means they could be the go-to, you know, mass destruction missile dealer of choice for pretty much any bad actor who then could have the capability to hit pretty much any of their enemies. So this is distinctly disturbing for us, but should be disturbing to pretty much anybody who lives on Earth.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, to get more specific on that, the IRBM, the Intermediate Range Ballistic Missile, the Musudan that the North Koreans have, they sold 18 of those to Iran. And Iran tested it at a range of 4,000 kilometers back in 2006, according to several press sources, which means Iran can essentially now hit Tel Aviv with their Nodon, which they got from obviously the North Koreans, and they can hit NATO headquarters in Brussels with their version of the Musudan, which of course they got from the North Koreans. I do think it's important to point out that the unclassified analysis that we saw from this gentleman, Jeffrey Lewis, who is a North Korean and a missile specialist of sorts. Basically, he's basing that analysis strictly on burn marks in the ground. In other words, when I went back and looked at his analysis, there were no images or imagery, if you will, of the transporter erector launcher that was used to launch this. In other words, the transporter erector launcher, or TEL, for the KN-08 is 8-wheeled, whereas it's 6-wheeled for the Musudan launcher. So if he had seen the launcher, he would probably have referenced it. He doesn't have a picture of that. He obviously didn't see the launch. And in addition to that, both our own DOD and the ROC Ministry of National Defense have both reiterated that they assess it to be a Musudan launch. Now, that doesn't mean that it's still not possible that this was a launch, the first launch, I might add, of an ICBM. It just means that we don't have a whole lot of evidence yet. And so I would hesitate to make a call. So that's where we're standing right now on this last failed launch that the North Koreans conducted.
I take your point that if this was not an ICBM, perhaps it is not as immediately dangerous. But let's assume it was just the intermediate range missile. and combining that with the, you know, the nuclear testing they've been doing, and the fact that the Iran nuclear deal has put a lot of the other states in the Gulf region on a heightened sense of danger, given the fact that they're now testing more missiles. They're looking at essentially a clear path at some point to nuclear weapons. What's the chance that the North Koreans may be selling more of those to other folks in the region as opposed to just to the Iranians?
Well, that's a very good point. I think that they may be selling these to Syria eventually. And I also think they'll be selling more of them to Iran. Iran only has 18 or had 18. They've tested at least two of them that we know of. So I think it's likely, bringing up the Iran deal, I think it's just insane that, Secretary Kerry was talking about nuclear weapons with the Iranians in complete absence of the platforms that would carry them, that is to say ballistic missiles, which we know now were going back and forth between Iran and North Korea, even as the talks were going on, the JCPOA talks, which is just, I mean, you know, guys like me and you were aghast at that. The Israelis were aghast at that. I was in Israel a couple of months after the talks were concluded, and they were quite concerned. So I think we have to believe that, for example, this missile, the Musudan, which really gives Iran a capability to hit just about anywhere in Europe, is something that the Iranians are likely involved in. They may have been at the tests. And we need to be concerned that the North Koreans could put a nuclear warhead on this missile, which I'd like to point something else out about. Not only could it kill 165,000 American citizens on Guam, but the other reason they want to target Guam is because at Anderson Air Force Base on Guam, as you know, that's where we have our strategic bombers that would take out North Korean WMD in any wartime situation. So this is a key concern for the North Koreans, and it's probably why they built a missile that had that range. And, you know, as you brought up at the beginning of this segment, I still think it's important for us to keep an eye out for the KN-08, because on the off chance that this was the initial launch of the KN-08, that means they're at the point where they're now actually, they have gone beyond just engine testing, they're launching the actual missile itself. So interesting stuff.
Obviously, they've sold to the Iranians. The Iranians are pointing out that that was actually happening, that the missiles were en route while we were busy just giving away the entire farm in the Iran nuclear deal, should stun people, as every time another revelation about that deal comes out, it's never good news. So it's the, I guess, real danger then, a larger and closer tie with Iran? Do the North Koreans seem to really be fostering that relationship?
They do. And that's another excellent point. You're raising some great points this evening. They, at the time that nuclear deal was going on, were collaborating with the North Koreans, the Iranians were, on an 80-ton rocket booster for an ICBM. After the JCPOA deal was concluded, the Treasury Department sanctioned not only Iran, but they sanctioned SHIG, Iran's primary liquid fuel development corporation, and individuals in Iran who had visited North Korea. So, I mean, the United States government is not denying this. They just didn't bring the sanctions against Iran until after the talks were concluded. So what I think you can likely expect to see over coming years is Iran will likely develop upgrades to its nuclear weaponization program offshore in North Korea. I think we can very likely expect that. And you can also expect to see upgrades to these long-range and mid-range ballistic missiles going back and forth between Iran and North Korea, because this is very profitable for North Korea. And they'll want to do that to continue to maintain their military development, obviously, and to help keep the elite in the style of living in which they have been for the past few years.
Bruce Bechtel, thank you so much for your continued weather eye on the dangers posed by North Korean missile development and proliferation. Up next, we're going to be talking with Bill Gertz, senior editor at the Washington Free Beacon, about President Obama engaging our enemies. This is Jim Hansen, and you're listening to Secure Freedom Radio.